This is a replay of the Wednesday night, August 9th, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 3 hours to spend together. I try to make it worth your while, and I hope I'll get you to call. 888-876-5593. 8888-RALEIGH. So, I was driving back just before the show. Well, quickly went out to get us something to eat before. Yeah, it's show prep for me. Make sure I ate something. Well, I did. And on the way back, with moments to spare and not much more, I'm listening to the radio, of course. And at this point, I'm listening to the Glenn Beck Show. And kudos to Glenn Beck, because he did what every good host should do and what I rarely do. And that is have a tease so strong that you'll wait through the commercial break to find out what it's about. And he said that he was going to break the biggest story ever told. And I thought, well, I got to wait to see what this is. Yeah, I know. Fool that I am. John just got out of the car. I'm like, no, I don't know. So I'm rewarded with the answer. And the biggest story ever told is the evidence of aliens. Now, of course, we've known about this. Actually, if you're an Art Bell listener, you've known about it for years. But we've known about this since News Nation broke the interview with the whistleblower, the retired, I guess he was a major in the Air Force, David Grush, when they did that interview in July. A lot of people took notice, you know, like all of Congress and the House Oversight Committee opened an investigation. Now, Grush did not see anything firsthand, and that was known, but he had a lot of circumstantial evidence that in his mind added up to quite a bit, and the members of Congress in the House Oversight Committee were very interested in hearing every bit of it. Now, when this happens, you know darn well at that point in time, if somebody is claiming something that others in the government don't want claimed, they talk about them in some way to discredit them. It's either misinformation, disinformation, or they're plumb crazy. Well, for David Grush, apparently it was the latter. Now, what's interesting about that, if you'll look at some of the articles, is that he did have an issue after he got back from the Middle East and was at one point suicidal. And his wife at the time, not the wife who is his wife now, reported it. And he was carted away. It was about 2014. Now, and again in 2018, there was an incident at that point. The wife at the time said he was an alcoholic and he's suicidal and he needs help. And that's from the Loudoun County Sheriff's Office in Virginia. Well, here's the interesting deal. So a lot of people are, you know, zooming in on this, saying, well, see, he's a drunk. He's not credible. He didn't lose his security clearance. All right, so here he is. He's inspected, dejected, and otherwise turned inside out to see the result of what clearly was PTSD, investigated any way you could investigate someone. And he ultimately is, I can't say he's given a clean bill of health because I don't know, I haven't seen it, but he's ultimately released and and he doesn't lose his security clearance. So I looked at this and I thought to myself, this is so interesting, because on the one hand, his detractors are saying, see, he has a mental health record. And I'm thinking, yeah, well, that just backfired on him, because you would think if there was anything that was really problematic, this guy's security clearance would be pulled in a picosecond. So there you have it. Now, the idea that his medical records had been leaked, some people were saying that. No, that's not true, actually. Like I say, it was called the sheriff's office, so a freedom of information request will get you that. And that's what they got. But again, to keep your security clearance, because normally the government, like I say, your head would spin how quickly individuals are losing or are denied clearances. I mean, even things like past marijuana use in places where it was legal, you know, and on and on. So the idea that this decorated former combat officer, which there's no doubt about that, in fact, is insane. Well, why does he have the security clearance? Yeah, makes you wonder, doesn't it? All right, so I know there are many people who are now predicting when the information will be leaked and when we will know for sure. And no shortage of people I'm seeing now on many of the YouTube videos I listen to while I try to go to sleep. And I mentioned that before. I normally don't watch anything at all, but in order to go to sleep, I look for videos that are interesting enough that my mind's not going to drift off to the serious matter of the day, but boring enough that I'm actually not going to get so involved that I won't fall asleep. And this usually works like a charm. I have heard the first 3 minutes of more videos than I can tell you about. It's really true. Rarely do I get through much more than that. But what I've noticed now in the last couple months is how many videos I'm seeing of, you know, I lived with a reptilian, things like that. Yeah, and I know, maybe I should stay awake and hear what that's about, but usually I'm long asleep before we find out how they shapeshifted. But there you have the latest. I wanted to pass that on. And it's interesting how many people are quick to say, like the Defense Department, that there's no verified information. This whole thing is an embarrassment to Congress and all that. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. Along those lines, we do have some slime from the checkout line today. Yeah. The Globe, Trump's mob ties, and Biden buries JFK murder evidence. Well, that wasn't supposed to come out, whatever, you know, the commission report, I think, till 70 years after the fact. So we're still a few years away from that. And I would assume that when that moment comes, they'll wind up delaying it even further. But, oh, my God, I think I have two issues of the Globe here. Well, of course, when you win on trivia, you know, some of the prizes are the tabloid. So I think I actually bought this thing twice. Oh, well, we'll go through it later to see if there's anything of interest in it. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, we'll get to Ruth and Gurney. There's room for you, too. And if you listen to this show, I know you're a radio lover. And so let me mention the CC Radio 2E right now, because it's just better. It's one of the radios that Bob Crane designed. And Bob, like you and I, is a radio lover who, like most of us, was flat out disgusted with how bad reception was on most contemporary radios. And he decided many years ago, I'll do better. Not only does he in every radio that he brings out, but there are a number of other features that are just a delight. Now, if you're wondering how much better the CC Radio 2E is when it comes to reception, take the standard radio, whatever it is that you've got, tune to a weak AM station. Take the CC Radio 2E, tune to the same station. I don't have to say anything else. You'll hear the difference. It's one of the best AM and FM radios made today, and long-range FM reception as well. If it's over your head and can be picked up, the CC Radio 2E will pick it up. It's just like that. Not only that, it sounds good. It can be adjusted however you want it to sound, including me right next to you, but bass and treble and all that. It's got a digital readout. It's got a dial light, which is nice, and it's got a weather alarm and the weather band. So it's a terrific bedside companion, which is where I keep mine. You can go to ccradio.com anytime. Read about the CC Radio 2E, ccradio.com. But if you can't go online, give them a call. They've got the world's best customer service. 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. E. They will answer all your questions. You can order by phone as well. By the way, for quicker shipping, you can go to Amazon or something like that. But if you want the real radio experience, first thing to do is go to ccradio.com. And by the way, sign up for the Sea Crane newsletter. You'll be the first to know about exclusive offers, and that's absolutely free. But CC Radio 2E, go to ccradio.com. Check it out. You'll get great information as well as everything you want to know about it. And I just think, I keep it by the bedside. I recommend it. CC Radio 2E from the Sea Crane Company. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
I moved your picture from my wall, and I replaced them, both large and small. And each new day finds me so blue. Nothing takes the place of you. I read your letter one by one, and I still love you when it's all said and done. And oh, my darling, I'm so blue, because nothing, oh, nothing takes the place of you.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Toussaint McCall. And sadly, we're playing it because he's no longer with us. Died yesterday in Los Angeles, 89 years old. Yeah. Born in Delhi, Louisiana, which is not far from Monroe. I've seen some of the obits that say he was born in Monroe. Well, Delhi is just to the east of it. And Monroe, of course, is just to the east of Shreveport. And, of course, that's how he wound up on Ron Records, which was a division of Paula. All right, now that we've got that straight, he only had one hit on the R&B charts, no hits on the pop charts, and you just heard the hit that was on the R&B chart, and a good one it was, Nothing Takes the Place of You. And that, I think that got to like number 5 in 1967. And on the pop charts again, it didn't even make it to number 50. But nonetheless, he was quite the act as far as that goes. And a lot of people thought that he would hit again, and he didn't. He had a number of other recordings and some nice stuff too, but absolutely nothing. Locally, though, inducted into the Northeast Louisiana Music Hall of Fame in 2016, and like I say, died in Los Angeles. So I don't know when he was there. He's an organist, by the way, and so you just heard a snippet of that too. And if you like the original Hairspray, there's a cameo appearance in that John Waters film of him lip syncing to his hit song. Yeah. So, and what's interesting, by the way, the film took place in 1962. So apparently John Waters didn't really mind that his dates were off, because Nothing Takes the Place of You came out in 67. But never mind that. So that's right. Oh, details. But sadly, rest in peace, Toussaint McCall. Toussaint Louverture McCall. And so I'm thinking, where do you get that middle name? Well, because he was named after a Haitian revolutionary, Toussaint Louverture. So hence, Toussaint Louverture McCall. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And Ruth is in Gurnee. Welcome back to WGN Radio, Ruth.
Good evening, Mrs. James. I'm thinking about when I'm hearing the listeners request songs, and then every time somebody requests a Scotty song, I think you should have a sitcom on Raleigh James and her listeners.
Oh, geez.
Because a talent scout would get Johnny D right away. He'd be perfect for the boob tube. Not that he's the boob, but the tube is. And I don't watch TV either, and have seen very few movies in the last few years. But you have some remarkable people, and they make comments about one another. But the title for the sitcom or a book would definitely be Scotty's Request. Because his, I hope, doo-wop, Raleigh, you keep it alive, you do.
Oh, you betcha.
Scotty's Request to keep doo-wop alive is there like a God bless you every time. And just a great sitcom for getting something really down to earth, no pun intended, about real people with the thinking philosophies that they have and you have. So why I called tonight was, you usually ask your customers how they're feeling when they ask you how you're feeling. And so I'd like to answer the question as you had asked me. I get into a wheelchair once every 2 months or once a month. And so therefore, right now, at the given moment, I'm wondering where my next person is going to be that helps me get in and out of the wheelchair. So I figure I'm not going to get worried about it until it gets closer to a month from now. But Gurney Days is coming, the parade and the festival, and I missed it last year because I couldn't get in or out of the wheelchair. And the Kenosha County Fair is coming also in a week and a half, and I'm going to miss that one again this year. And last year I said to myself, when I couldn't enter the bake-off or any of the other fair contests, when I couldn't enter them because I couldn't get in and out of the wheelchair, I said, next year for sure I'll get to the Kenosha County Fair because I've been there so many times. I would usually go on the Sunday, the day the children's parade was at 10 o'clock in the morning, and I made it once in the middle of the week. And I went there in costumes several years in different Cinderella costume.
So Ruth,
and I was with all the kids marching in the parade. But now my big point for calling you is not that I miss all the things that I used to do or can't do. Post office. You had callers call in about post offices. I had sent out several items or had someone take them for me, and money orders did not get delivered. And therefore, to trace it, I would have to fill out a form. And I called several post offices for information about how to do this. And so one post office, Zion, was fantastic with their person answering, but the person in charge only answers the phone by recordings. That's the lady from the north side of Chicago
Who
the post office told her, why did she go there? So I can't get the form letter from the post office, and they won't give it to someone else, even though I've been given a number for the form letter to document a money order that did not get delivered.
Okay, hang on a minute, Ruth. Ruth, you got to hang on. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
Okay.
We're going to see what's going on with the world at large, and I'll look for the form. All right, and then we'll talk a little about Gurney Days, too, because, you know, that's this weekend, and they got an ice cream eating contest. Oh, inspires me right now, actually. So we'll pick it up in moments right here on WGN Radio.
Oh,
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, that serves two purposes. One, it's one of Scotty's requests. Of course, he loved the Chantels. That was late in the Chantels' career, 1963, on Ludix, Eternally. And also, Fran last night said she wanted to hear another Chantels. She said, play something I haven't heard. And I said, have you heard Eternally? And she said, no, so now she has. So, 888-876-5593, 8888-RALEIGH. So we continue with our chapter of Ruth Goes to the Post Office. Now, Ruth, the form you want, the 6401, that's right online.
That's right. And now I'm being told there is none that doesn't exist.
Well, it not only exists.
Hello?
Yeah, it's not.
Hello, a former school board member from Gurnee just told me yesterday there's no such thing as one letter winner number.
Well, there is, and you can get it online, and you can actually print it out online as well, and you can mail it to St. Louis to the address that is on the form.
With a copy of the money order, too.
Well, obviously. Yes, you can do this, so do it.
Well, what I did was I ordered cushion knee pads, and I can slip off of the couch and get on and call. So I figured when the weather cooled down, I would call from here to there.
Uh-huh.
And there I would go into the post office and get the form and get the whole thing done. It's been 5 months.
Well,
it's a few hundred dollars on the money order.
Well, I wouldn't wait anymore. I would just fill it out online, make a copy, and mail it.
I don't do computers.
Well,
somebody. But I'll find a way.
Right. Somebody you know does.
I'll find a way.
Yes.
I know. Now, here's one other thing, too. With all this University of Raleigh James, and they should give you a doctorate yesterday and the year before and the year before and the year before.
Mm-hmm.
However, honorary, you know, so that you might be able to go to a graduation and be the honorary person there, having been given an honorary doctorate. But what would happen if someone called you, and it kind of would be a juxtaposition, and they had a trivia question for you?
No.
99% of the time, you would answer it without even using the computer.
Oh, I doubt it.
That I find really interesting.
No, believe
because
me, Ruth.
When you do trivia night, someone is giving a question, and then you come up with, or they're suggesting, you want them to answer it so that they could be winners. And then if you did it the other way and you got to be the winner, I love postage stamps. And that's one of the reasons why I don't like to do computers and pay online and all those kinds of things. I love postage stamps.
Uh-huh.
I would send you postage. By the way, what is your address to mail something to you?
Box.
Is it on the computer? How would I find it?
Yeah, box 977, Miami, Arizona, 85539. And it is online.
Okay. Okay. 777?
No, 977.
Okay, 2 7s. I thought you had a 3 7.
No, just.
9's a good number, though, but 777.
No, it's just,
number.
Box 977.
Okay, I'll get the zip code.
855-3-9. It's not hard.
Yeah, well, I got to try. I'll try to remember it for the year 1939. I'll remember the last two numbers. 39.
Well, that's a start.
But trying to get, you know, numbers all at one time would be another thing.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, back anything about the post office, you said suggestion is go online.
Yes.
So you solved my problem in a second.
Yes.
Okay. In a way, all your consumer advice for all the people in every direction, in every area, is so incredible, whether it's healthy issues and physicians or hospitals or anything medical, or if it's anything economy.
Okay. Well,
persistence you have been with asking people about how they are faring in the economy and what they're doing. You take $1 and turn it into 10. Yeah, we're going to get into that. I'm going to call a lot because I used to do a consumer show for WTRS.
Now, just listen to me for a minute.
And
here.
I want some of my ideas, not as good as they were in the old days.
Ruth.
But I have so many incredible ideas.
You need to hear this, Ruth.
Oh.
Sooner or later, you're going to listen. You need to hear this, Ruth. The PS Form 6401, what your friend was telling you is partially right. You can go online and type in USPS Form 6401, but it is no longer a requirement for replacement. Now, this happened in November of 2021, and the post office removed the requirement to complete this form. Now, you can complete it, and you got to mail them $6.10, but you can go into a post office for free with your money order and the original receipt. In your case, it'll be a copy, and supposedly the post office can research it. But I wouldn't advise it. I'd go with the form. And I'd go with the form because, of course, you don't have the original. You mailed the original to the recipient. So go with the form. But the reason your friend told you that is because they did remove the requirement. Okay?
Okay. Well, I was going to do the knee pads because they're cushioned.
I'm not even
going
to ask.
And I figured, that I might be able to make it in that direction.
Yes. All right.
And I got that. I had two people go and request it, and they wouldn't give them anything. And another third volunteered to go, and I says, don't, because they won't give it.
All right, so then
else.
So then go online and just have somebody in a search engine type USPS Form 6401, and it will pop up, and you can fill it out online and mail it in.
All right.
Well,
I can tell you that there's so many stories, but I don't call often. Because I just enjoy everybody else doing what they do, and the things that I get to hear from other people in trivia and all different and songs. What was the song that the 89-year-old fellow Waters, what was the song that you just played a song ago?
Toussaint McCall.
Nothing. Stella passed away.
Yeah, Toussaint McCall, Nothing Takes the Place of You.
Okay, I didn't pay attention to that, what the title would be.
Now you know.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay. God bless you, Robbie.
Right. Talk to you soon. Okay. Good luck. All right. So, yeah, navigating the post office is not necessarily an easy thing, but that's the deal, Form 6401. All right. And, you know, of course, you hope nobody's cashed it, because if they have, it probably comes back, well, it's been cashed, but, you know, at least you'll know something. 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh. We got Jay in Green Valley, we got Don in Beloit, and we got room for you too coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, the Platters and their MusiCorps period. I love you 1,000 times. One of my faves, Luther Dixon and Inez Fox, husband and wife at the time, wrote it. Luther would have turned 92 this week, and Herb Reed of the Platters would have turned 95 on Monday. So, yeah, plenty of reasons to play it, other than it's just a terrific record. So, 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh. And that's going to take us to Jay in Green Valley. What's happening tonight, Jay?
Hey, good evening. How are you?
All right. How about yourself?
Real good. I was listening to you last night. You were talking about insidious stuff about the scammers. I've got a couple things I want to talk to you about. But the first thing is one insidious way that scammers go about it. They act as a bank, and they say, oh, well, you've got to check out, call your bank, turn your card over, and call that 800 number, and then we can talk to the security at the bank. Oh, okay. Well, that sounds good. So you call that number, and it says, press 1 for that. You press 1, and they switch over to their own people.
Now, wait a minute. What we're saying, are they still on the phone when you're calling
that number? They're on the phone.
Oh, no. Yeah. No. You never, ever, 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 ever make another call while someone who's called you is on the phone.
That's right. That's
period.
Right.
Yeah.
But they're trying to trick you into thinking that they're helping.
Right, that they're helping you out and you're independently doing that. No.
Yeah.
No matter what it is, hang up, disconnect the call entirely, no matter what it is. And, you know, you're right, Jay, in terms of people fall for this. I can't tell you how many people I know who absolutely fall for it, and they're otherwise bright people.
Yes.
Just amazing to me. But, no, if anyone calls you about anything, you do not continue the conversation.
Yeah, last year, Americans lost over $1 billion worth of money.
Sure. Absolutely. And, you know, if it's a thing where they give you a number to call back, no, that's not the number to call.
No, not safe either.
No, of course not. You independently find the number. And because you'll very often get that kind of a phone message where they'll say, you know, we're your bank and here's our fraud department phone number and please call us when you can. And you call and you have no idea because it sounds legit. No, if anyone calls you, you research the number on your own, period. And
you're right.
The other thing, of course, is the IRS is not going to call you. Even when you want them to call you, they're just not going to call you. So if it's something like that, realize it's a scam from the get-go.
Okay, and one thing I want to give to the listeners, on YouTube, which is safe, go look up a YouTube channel by Jim Browning. He's in Scotland, and he's one of the major players who will go after the scam baiters, and you can see on this latest video that he's put on where they found another scam bait office and they've set it up and the cops are going to go in and raid it. But for some reason or not, all the scammers leave about 10 minutes or so before the raid happens. Of course, that's in India again.
Mm-hmm.
So Jim Browning, and he's always gives you the latest of the new type of scams that are happening and what to watch out for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's a good channel, and you can see everything, including new twists on old scams and more. But you know, the reality is there's no way for us to tell you who's going to be doing the scamming because there's a new one every day. So what's important is to always know, no matter what it is, and what I fear, and you probably do as well, that as AI goes on and they clone voices of someone's children or grandchildren, this is going to be a field day. And that's a hard one for people because you hear your granddaughter or grandson crying, you have to help Nana and all this. No.
They're already doing that.
Oh, they are.
They're already doing.
Oh no, they are doing it. But that's just the beginning, as you know.
So they changed, so you don't have an Indian accent anymore. You have an American accent.
Right. Of course. All of that.
I'm getting those and working those all the time.
Yeah.
I have another. I wanted to end that conversation and start another one.
Uh-huh.
If possible. Down here in the Tucson Green Valley, I don't call them placeholder stations. 98 FM stations, 98.1, 105.1, 103.7.
Uh-huh.
One's in Tubac.
Right.
And they're just playing music very rarely, and an ID at the top of the hour.
Uh-huh.
And it sounds like they're all the same company, but I'm not sure what or who they are.
I think that might be a Ted Tucker deal. Are you a Cochise broadcaster? Are you aware of Ted Tucker?
I might be, but yeah. I'm not sure.
Well, you can probably just Google it or, you know, go online. Okay. He voluntarily turned in half a dozen licenses in the last year or so because he didn't keep them on the air. But you'll see all sorts of things. And so, you know, and yes, the areas you're talking about, for instance, and Cochise Broadcasting. So, yeah, I'd say that's what you want to do is you'll look up Ted Tucker and you'll Sky West Media. Is one of them. So those are a couple of them. But yeah. Ted Tucker is the name you're looking for.
They sound like low power.
Some of them are. Yeah, and some of them are translators. Some of them aren't. He just filed to move a station inexplicably because actually it doesn't move it closer to Tucson or to Phoenix. It's one of those, I guess, maybe a little closer to Tucson, but not a city grade either way. And that's KCDX, a lot of people listen to that who like it. But yeah, that's Ted Tucker.
Yeah, they're mainly always. Okay, hey, thank you very much.
Sure thing. Really, my pleasure. Talk to you soon. Okay, bye. Yeah.
Bye.
And KCDX, that's 103.1. Their license is Florence, but they just did a move. Like I say, I looked at that and I thought, my head's spinning to understand the logic behind this one. All right, so we'll get to Don and Beloit, James on the South Side, and you two coming up next hour right here. Yeah, I don't remember. Bob, who is manning the fort at Master Control, told me when I should leave the premises for news, and I forgot. So I don't know if I should prattle on or stop talking. So when all else fails, I shut up, and I'll just say it's WGN Radio. GN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Tyrone Davis, Turn Back the Hands of Time, 1970 on Dacker. And Willie Henderson, who produced and arranged that, turned 82 today. Yeah, worked closely with Carl Davis and the Shylights and Jackie Wilson and Barbara Eklund. And yeah, obviously Tyrone Davis. So there you have it. 888-876-5593. We were talking to Jay in Green Valley, about to change the subject. So go for it, Jay. Are you there, Jay? We lost Jay? Oh, all right. Well, Jay, if you want to call back, do. I think there was something else you wanted to talk about, and I'd love to do that. But in the meantime, Don and Beloit, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, good evening. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear.
Oh, that's good. I never know. I sometimes I'm pulled over on the side of the road, you know, these rental cars, they're always different, you know, how to connect.
Oh, aren't they, though?
Yes. Oh, my God, they're horrible.
Oh,
and
I know.
Of course, I don't want to use it. I just want to use my phone. I don't want to go through the different things on the dashboard usually.
Well, what I love is now in almost every location, it is illegal to use your cell phone while you're driving unless it's hands-free, okay, because they don't want you distracted. Yet, they have, right in front of the driver's very eyes, a smart screen that will distract you from anything.
Sure.
I don't get it.
And of course, I want Wi-Fi. I want like hotspot, and I do a lot of work in my car on a laptop a lot of times. And, yeah. Anyway, you know, so many things. You know, this also in Los Angeles, yeah, another death. This Robbie Roberts, and I'm not sure you mentioned it earlier.
No,
but,
I did.
You know,
didn't mention it. No.
Yeah, I got four brothers. We're all, you know, totally into music. But one of my brothers, I think, said it great when he said tonight to me.
Yeah.
My brother Mike said it took a Canadian to write the greatest epic Civil War rock and roll song.
Jeez, yeah. And Robbie was nothing if not a Canadian and 80 years old. So, yeah. So, no, didn't mention that, but did know that he died. The band. Yes.
The band, of course, the night they drove Old Dixie Down and many others and last soundtracks and different things.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
well, Riley, I was telling John earlier, you know, I always wanted to ask you about that man's voice, you know, your introduction, you know, direct from the edge of the Lunatic Fringe. And I think he does another one, but where you got that voice, I mean, I wanted to ask you about it. Like, did you do auditions? Did you write that yourself?
I did write it, but that was Stephen B. Williams. He was my closest friend, and sadly, he was murdered many years ago. And I said that he would remain my announcer no matter what. And a lot of other people had offered to do liners and stuff like that. And I said, nope, Stephen B. stays.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Where did that happen at?
They found his body floating off Catalina Island.
Ugh.
Yeah. It was not a pretty story. He was 59 years old when he died. It was just days before his 60th birthday.
Oh, and how long ago was that?
Oh, gosh. I'm guessing that would have been 2006.
Okay. Did you always know you wanted him to do your voice, or did you try different people's
voices?
I
had a lot of friends who were voiceover people. And Stephen was just handy at that moment, and he said, sure, I'll do him. And it just as easily could have been Chuck Riley or anybody else, just whoever I knew at the moment, you know, who was available and did him. So it was not like any process, and I wasn't really looking for anything. I just, he recorded, I don't know, 12 or 13 cuts that I had written, and I just said, think of Top Cat, and that was about it.
It's a great voice. I mean, it's
just
a compliment.
No, he had a
great voice. It's like a great growl, you know.
No, he had a wonderful voice, and he did. Stephen B. and the Hawk were a huge morning team for about a decade in Denver, and before that, he did mornings in Honolulu, and then he was into voiceover.
Okay. You know, Riley, I think of you know, this alien news, and you know, there's more and more stuff in the news. I think of four little things, you know. I think, you know, people can look this up if they want or whatever, but you know, I'm always into airplanes and stuff, and I think four stories that were just blew my mind were that others, you know, were very convincing was professional pilot. I think it was a Japan Air or maybe a Korean Air that saw this big craft, like square miles over, I think, the coast of Alaska, maybe 10 years ago. That was a very powerful story. And also this guy, another professional pilot, that makes it much more believable when these pilots, you know, have these great stories. Mm-hmm. This UK pilot that had a regular route to the Channel Islands about 10 years ago, his videos online are just amazing.
Yeah.
This British pilot. This cigar, it had this big cigar-shaped thing with a lot of people playing song. And then this thing that's in the news a lot now that's getting a lot of airplay is this Harvard professor that has got this thing. It's not all out yet. They haven't published like the whole thing, but they've been working a few years, sifting. Have you heard about the sifting, like through the offshore of Indonesia? They've been sifting and sifting and sifting all the square miles, finding this debris field from this meteorite. But I think it landed about 5 years ago, maybe. But they know where it landed. And what's so unusual about this, again, this is them talking, not me, but they feel that this is very alien-ish because of the alloy, the speed that it went down, the density of this stuff, and all meteorites shed. They all shed, like, mm-hmm. different, you know, on impact, and they shed different materials as they're burning up in our atmosphere. So what they've been doing is they've been finding these little microscopic droplets, and these alloys or whatever they are not of this Earth. They're not like any other meteorite. So that study is really kind of fascinating, mm-hmm. but I'm not sure it's really that fascinating. But they think they're onto something with this thing. And the other story I think that's most powerful, and this is really powerful, was about 20 years ago. There was a whistleblower that made a lot of news, made some newscaster stories about 10, maybe 15, 20 years ago. I think it was about 15 years ago, off of Area 59. And this guy was
51.
He worked in a lab there that was deconstructing an mm-hmm. alien technology ship to try to get mm-hmm. information off of it. And he'd worked there for some time. And he basically, I think, had enough and became a whistleblower and talked to some news agency. That was really quite an interesting testimony that he had. So anyway, I just thought these are my little things about
there are several
talking along in the news quite a bit.
Several people who claim they were an insider at Area 51, from Bob Lazar to David Adair and everybody in between. There haven't been any proofs of that. Now, what I want to know is, why are these meteors and meteorites hitting Indonesia anyway? Because we have the one going into the volcano, and that was, I think, 2021. Then the year before, a meteorite fell through some guy's house, and he supposedly became an instant millionaire after that because of a rock that was that. I don't think he actually got the money, but on and on. It's like, what the hell's going on in Java? You know, I don't know.
Java was a big one. That one was really unusual. Meteorites have been going through people's houses for decades.
Oh,
that,
yes.
That's old news, especially just in Illinois alone. There's a bunch of stories about that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We had a close encounter on I-81. I would have never believed it if I hadn't seen it. And to this day, I can see this thing, because what amazed me about it was so close to our car, was it looked like it was the size of a softball. It was probably bigger, but I saw the flames coming out from it. Wow, look at that. Yeah, so...
Well, I think Raleigh and John need to sell some T-shirts for that, I would buy one.
No, there are no T-shirts. As far as, Oceania, what I'm most interested in still is Malaysia Air 370. What the hell happened to that plane? Why don't we know anything?
Yeah. That's unfortunate. Yeah, that's a big ocean to find something, though, if you want to disappear everybody.
Well, it is no doubt about it. But it's almost a decade now. I think it's 9 years, and it was a 777, 239 people on board. It vanishes, and there was an Australian expedition trying to find it, and they gave up after 50,000 square miles of seafloor. And then there are others, and I know they've now had documentaries on about this as well. But it was to me, it's fascinating that they've seen absolutely nothing from this plane.
Well, hold on. Don't forget, we had an aileron wash up on Madagascar's eastern shore a year later, so it looked like that was definitely from the plane.
Was a story, but I never heard it confirmed.
I think they were able to locate a serial number or something.
Okay.
They for some reason I thought there was a connection to the plane, that was definitely from the plane, I thought.
Okay. Did not know that.
No, wait, maybe you and I could do some homework and we'll reconnect on that some other time.
Yeah, I'm looking at that right now. Okay. In 2017 there was an article on what had been found, and let's see.
Locals,
right. Yeah,
I remember Madagascar.
Yeah, I got a bunch of them here, but I just don't Mozambique and things like this. And it was they confirmed three pieces were from the plane. The others were completely inconclusive, but confirmed supposedly a wing flap in Tanzania, and That's interesting. Part of the outboard wing flap. Okay, a plane wing fragment on Mauritius. And let's see what confirmed.
That's the middle of the Indian Ocean.
Yeah, a part identifier was legible. A flaperon on Reunion Island a year after the crash. And let's see, do we have numbers found inside the flaperon? Match records from the manufacturer. So, okay, so three pieces of something had been found. Now, highly likely were in a cabin interior panel in Madagascar, but they can't prove it. An engine cowling in Mossel Bay, South Africa. A main cabin interior panel from Rodriguez Islands. A horizontal stabilizer, Mozambique. A flap track fairing, Mozambique. But those are unconfirmed, to say the least. But the three confirmed, that is interesting. I never bothered to look for that, so thanks for letting me know that. And I don't know.
The pictures are very, pictures tell a thousand words. You know, some native kids, let's say, found, and then barnacles. You know, you get you see barnacles on that stuff. I'm like, wow, right. It's been in the ocean a while. I guess that makes sense.
Wow. Yeah, it'd be fascinating to know what went wrong there.
I'm so sorry to hear about your friend, Mr. Williams. I'm sorry. That's terrible.
It was. It was absolutely horrifying. It's a true soap opera. I could go on and on about what happened. Thank God someone was convicted who's rotting in prison, but not good enough for me.
I see. Riley, I'm always glad that how you keep certain stories alive. You know, there's a part of you that is a... You would have been a great private detective.
Yeah.
I think we all could have.
I don't know about that. But yes, there's a number of stories circulating that I can't tell on the air right now that we've been kind of in the real moments. So I don't know. All
well,
right.
Like the Ron Brown, you know, that's a story that you mentioned the other night.
Oh, man. Man. Yes. People who haven't read the full Ron Brown story, it's a fascinating one. The air traffic controller actually commits suicide, and that was not surprising given what was going on.
Yeah. Well, you have a great show. It's great talking to you and John, and thank you so much for taking my call.
Absolutely. Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, so, that was quite the conspiracy at the moment. But we'll get to James on the south side. John in Covington, there's room for you, too. Sort of like, you know, TWA-800, which is another story. The thing that always blew me away about that, and that's where the center fuel tank exploded after taking off from JFK heading to Europe. But the deal is the amount of people who said they were so relieved to hear that it was just the center fuel tank spontaneously combusting. And I'm saying, wait a minute, that would scare me more than anything possible. Are you kidding me with that? Yeah, but, it wasn't terrorism. No, it just kind of spontaneously combusts. So I don't know, that didn't make me feel good. Nor did it seem very believable. But next thing you know, Boeing, well, never mind. All right, so 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. I'm Riley James. That's an alt take on Barbara Mason's "Oh How It Hurts" on Arctic. Yeah, I got to find that original 45. Maybe I'll play that next. But anyway, happy, happy birthday to Barbara Mason, who is still with us and turned 76 years old today. Indeed. All right, so we will pick it up right there with John and Covington, James on the south side, and you coming up. But right now, we'll find out what's going on in the world at large on WGN Radio News right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, there it is, the original 45 on Arctic version of Barbara Mason's Oh, How It Hurts. And yeah, what a perfect record. So happy birthday to the birthday girl, Barbara Mason, 76 today. Yeah, young 76. Yeah, that was Jimmy Bishop's record label from WDAS. All right, John is in Covington. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, I was telling John, this is a good thing, not a bad thing, but you're starting to get me hooked on doo-wop.
Oh.
So I listened to about 20 of them by way of my Echo device today.
Uh-huh.
And out of that 20, I was very impressed with two of them.
Uh-huh.
The first one was The Glory of Love by the Five Keys.
Okay.
And then the second one was Drip Drop by the Drifters.
Okay. I'm not sure I call that doo-wop, but okay. I'm laughing at Glory of Love because of of the later versions with the soliloquies.
Well, I was just going to say, there's so many doo-wop songs that when you hear them, you think to yourself, wow, that was a hit like 10, 15 years later by somebody else.
Oh, well, yeah, yeah.
But that happens a lot.
Oh, of course it does. But when they shove a soliloquy in the middle, you know, I hold in my hand, dear, three letters from the three stages of your fine, fine, super fine career. Oh man, you know.
Well, and then also The Glory of Love. I did not. It's what I'm about ready to tell you. It's one of my favorite movies. It's Sidney Poitier. It's Spencer Tracy. It's Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
Okay.
They use that song, not that version, but they use that song. It's a very key, it's like in the closing moments of the movie. Very good movie. One other thing. Now, I know the rules, and if you don't like it, you won't play it, and I appreciate that, but this past Friday on WLW in the afternoon, they were talking about your favorite covers.
Uh-huh.
I didn't even try to get through, but this woman, she said, and anyone knows me knows I like Johnny Rivers. Well, she turned me on to, it's by the Beach Boys, Do You Want to Dance? Well, Johnny Rivers covers it.
Well, the Beach Boys covered it too. They didn't,
didn't
do it originally.
Yeah, I had heard that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't originally.
Bobby Freeman?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So Johnny Rivers really slows it down really nice. I mean, it is so slow. It makes the lyrics, it gives the lyrics meaning. It really does.
All right. Well, there you go. Yeah, he actually made quite a latter career on covering records and did a number of them. I recently got an email from someone who told me that it was bound to happen, and yes, it was. Johnny Rivers has officially retired.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know.
So, yeah. Just,
that's all right.
Yeah, it was Dan who said it's on his website. And I went to johnnyrivers.com, sure enough, and he said a note to many fans and following, as you may have seen or heard, I've decided to retire from personal appearances and interview. Well, yeah, he started when he was 15, so now he's going to sit back and enjoy the grandkids.
That's right. I appreciate your time, Raleigh. Thanks a lot.
Oh, absolutely. All right. So, yeah, so since we're talking Gloria Love, the Velvetones were, of course, hilarious in their own way for that. But they were actually covering an earlier Larry Darnell. So, yeah, I'll Get Along Without You somehow. But, Larry Darnell, I got to find this for you. And the soliloquy, yeah, I'll Get Along Somehow. And then let me see if I got the Velvetts. Because here's the Five Keys, Gloria Love, which was a wonderful record. Everything the Five Keys did Wisdom of a Fool was my favorite. But nonetheless, I got to see if I have that soliloquy just by itself. And the answer might be no. I might only have the whole song there, and you don't want to hear all of it, I'm sure. It was one of the classic, absolute classic doo-wop soliloquies and that. But very few people, I think, realize that even the Velvetones were harkening back to an earlier time when Larry Darnell did I'll get along without you.
You're right up on top now, and you want to be free. Why, you feel that you're too good, much too good for nobody like me. Yes, you're afraid to present me to the friends in your set. Oh, well, I guess it's more convenient for us to forget. But how soon you forget all the fine, fine things you said, and how just a little success, yes, just a little taste of success, has gone straight to your pretty little head. I hold in my hand three letters, dear, each from three different stages of your fine, super fine career. The first one began, Larry, darling, sweetheart, my wonderful one. I'll always be grateful for the things that you've done. Your second letter came right after I gave you your start. Yes, it came from your pen, dear, but not from your heart. The third is a joker that came with a deck. You ended your letter enclosed, Larry, please find my check. Why, you fool, you poor, sad, worthless, foolish fool, you think your money could pay for the hard years I've suffered with you until things broke your way. Yes, I smiled when you kissed me, I thrilled at your touch. My only sin was I loved you. I loved you much too much.
Yeah, and like I say, it goes on from there. The Velvetones redid Gloria Love and put that in the middle of it. And so now every time I hear even the five keys, I'll play some of the Velvetones later for sure. I'll also play Coming Home, Mel Torme, which is a song I like. And I'd gotten a letter, and where is he? Well, an email anyway, from an individual who requested it. Said, I spoke too fast to get the phone number out there. Well, I thought I was pretty slow on that one. Maybe nothing else, but 888-876-5593, 8888-ROLLYE. But anyway, said, could you play some Mel Torme? So I'll do that too, and I'll try to find his email so you'll know who he is. But in the meantime, yeah, I'll come back with the Velvetones, Glory of Love. Yeah, truly a fine, fine, super fine record. All that and more coming up on WGN Radio. So I'm playing them both at once. That is not good. Good. All right, so let's get back to the Velvetones. Yeah, I'll play them one at a time this time.
You've got to give a little, take a little, and let your poor heart break a little. That's the story of. That's the glory of love.
Glory of love.
You've got to.
Yes, you're way up on top now. And you want to be free. Why, you feel that you're too good, much too good for a nobody like me. You're afraid to present me to the friends in your set.
That's the story.
Well, darling, I guess it's best that.
That's
we should part.
The glory
but how soon
love.
You forget the fine, fine things you've done. And how just a little taste of success has gone straight to your pretty little head. I hold in my hand, dear, three letters. Three letters from the stage of your fine, fine, super fine career. The first began, Eddie, darling, sweetheart, my wonderful one. I will always be grateful for the things that you've done.
That's the story.
The second letter came right after I gave you your start.
That's the glory.
Yes, it came from your pen, dear, but not from your heart. The third, the king, the joke of the deck. You ended your letter enclosed. Please
and
sign my check. Why, you fool. You poor, sad...
WGN Radio. All right, so, yeah, in the middle of the five keys, Gloria Love, here comes the Larry Darnell soliloquy. And, of course, Larry Darnell shoves that I'll Get Along Somehow in the middle of a song in 1949. The original I'll Get Along Somehow was in 1932, Ted Black and his orchestra, and a lot of people did I'll Get Along Somehow. I mean, I say a lot, nowhere near as many as did Gloria Love. Now we're talking about like 220 versions, but that goes back to 1936. And so the Five Keys did it in 1951. But then here come the Velvetones, like I say. Not the Velvetones, not the Velvetones. Oh my God, all that could be interesting. The Velvetones. doing, in fact, the Larry Donnell soliloquy in the middle of Glory of Love. So now you've heard them all. All right. So John will never like the song again. But yeah, the five keys did do it in 1951. So 888-876-5593 would be 8888 Raleigh, and we'll talk to James on the south side, because yesterday, you know, I had plugged all show that we talk about the flight attendant damn near decapitated. Like I say, that's in-flight entertainment like I've never heard, and that was one of the many James stories. So how's it going, James?
How are you doing?
Well, I can't complain, I guess.
Okay, well, as they say, in-flight entertainment. Though some might say, "Oh, are we seeing the latest Steven Seagal movie?"
Yeah, it's you know, like I say, years ago on Ajax Airlines, a Hudson and Landry bit. You know, that was where they said, "What's the movie on this flight?" Not a movie, we've got a rodeo. And, you know, I've always laughed at the thought of doing that mid-flight. And I thought, man, forget that. This decapitation is, it would be.
Again, ahead of the game.
Oh, you didn't. You just didn't. So I'm not even going to admit I heard that. But
okay.
You know, just when you think that it can't get worse, you know, there you have it.
It can.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Exactly how do they screen these people? But
I don't know. Sometimes you got, I'm glad I don't, I'm not a frequent flyer. I would probably say, give me some Dramamine and wake me up when we've arrived.
Yeah. So now, as far as I know, it was. By the way, it was on a Delta flight. It was supposedly just a threat. Although the article starts out saying a violent incident occurred. So a man assaults a flight attendant, puts her in a chokehold, and says he's going to decapitate her. And apparently, the passengers go to her defense, and it was a short hop too. It was just going from Atlanta to New Orleans, so this flight barely was airborne when this guy, I guess, just started to act out. A 39-year-old Nelson Montgomery brandished a sharp object. Where did he get the object? And turned his aggression toward the flight attendant.
Yeah, how did he get it in there? Yeah, right. I'm like, okay. I'm assuming that he have too much cocoa puffs.
Well, regardless, how did he? That's the whole point. They say a sharp object. Did he create it? Again, this is a 30-minute flight. He didn't have much time.
I'm going through it. Okay, I'm gonna take the shoes off. The only thing we don't do there is that. I hope we don't get to where we have to do the Gypsy Rose Lee.
Well, my answer is just drive. But in any event, sure enough, that was the deal, and all ended well. Entertainment over, and the Delta said that law enforcement, upon landing, met the customer on board. I guess he did. And they say zero tolerance for unruly behavior. That doesn't get more unruly than I'm going to decapitate you. And actually, the passenger was the one with the neck wound, which I thought was interesting, too. So obviously, the other passengers must have done a real bang-up job.
Yeah, okay. You want to know something? It kind of reminds me, when those old WWF, times when, let's say, some wrestler's in trouble, and a whole bunch of them come from the back thing and basically put a number on the guy on the offending group.
Yes, well, an entire cavalcade of stories, and we will be discussing a few more of them coming up, so stay where you are. And if it's on your mind, it'll be on ours too. 888-876-5593 right here on WGN Radio.
I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm coming home now, right away. I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm sorry now I ever went away. Every night and day I
I'm coming home, baby.
Come on home.
Coming home, baby, now.
You know I'm waiting here for you.
I'm coming home now real soon.
You've been gone.
Coming home, baby, now.
You don't know what I'm going.
I'm coming home, I know I'm overdue.
Since you went away,
expect me any day now, real soon. I'm coming home.
Come on home.
Coming home, baby, now.
You know I'm praying every night
and everything is gonna be fine.
Please come on.
Coming home, baby, now.
I want to feel you hold me tight.
Expect to see me now anytime.
When I'm in your arms,
when you're in my arms, I'll be fine. I'm coming home.
Coming home.
I'm coming home, baby, now.
You know I'm counting every day.
I'm coming home now, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Use your phone.
I'm coming home, baby, now.
And baby, let me hear you say.
I'm coming home, you hearing what I say.
As you're coming home.
And I never will go away. I'm coming home.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 1962 Atlantic. That is Mel Torme, Coming Home Baby. And it was Vernon who wrote from Mountain Home, Arkansas. Hi, Vernon. He said, I try call, but I never get your phone number because you talk 100 miles an hour. And he said, back during my 15-year stint on broadcasting in the 50s and 60s, I'm 91, you see, my bosses would have fired anyone for talking like that. Well, yeah, I've had my share. In anyway, so now Vernon knows, should he want to call 888-876-5593-8888-R-O-L-L-Y-E. So that's the deal for Vernon in Mountain Home, who likes Mel Torme, and so do I, actually. He said, growing up after, he was after the gal who became the wife of my best boss along the way, a guy never forgave him. All right. Well, a little Mel Torme dirt. There you have it. So, good deal. And it says, Vern M. WHO stations for 10 years. So I don't know if that's WHO as in with hands only, Des Moines. But if so, nice 50 kilowatt signal. All right. And TV, too. Yeah. So 888-876-5593 at any speed. But James is on the south side and we are continuing. All right. So every now and then, I really wonder if they actually teach journalism anymore. And if anybody who's really writing these stories has ever gone. Because it used to be the old who, what, when, where, and why in the first sentence. Now we have entire articles that tell you absolutely nothing. The headline says, as you know, scientists decode ancient script that has puzzled scholars for 70 years. And I think, oh boy, what does it say? The article never tells you. Are you there, James? Did we lose James? I think we lost James. Anyway, the article never tells you. And so it was that I decide, well, I'll do a little research there. And then I find another in an Archaeology Digest, of course, where else would you go? Unknown Cushion script partially deciphered. I'm like, oh, good. Well, I'll find out something. No, you're never going to find out. What you are going to find out, that the breakthrough came in the form of the royal name Verna Toctu, which appeared in both Bactrian, I'm thinking Bactrian, camels are talking. Obviously, the camels must be named after something else, I assume. Either that or there's not a lot of languages in Bactrian, you know, a lot of words in Bactrian. Whoa. Okay, so King of Kings was the title of this. And it was, that's all I know. And so these discoveries allowed the researchers to recognize other character sequences to determine phonetic values of individual characters in an unknown Cushion script. This is not ready for prime time. There was no reason to announce this. They now believe it was similar to a previously unknown Middle Iranian language, Banman. Yeah, Banman, Halfman, and Korobzow. I think they were doing bubblegum music in the 60s. Suggests the language could now be called Ateo-Tocharian. And they're planning to look for additional inscriptions in Central Asia with Tajik archaeologists. And that's the deal. Now, obviously, I'm showing my lack of knowledge about anything, since all I knew Bactrian was camels. But that said, it would seem to me, if this is going to be a big news flash, that they would have deciphered something that we would know about. Yeah, forget about it. All right, so 888-876-5593. Rita in Harwood Heights, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. You know, I missed out part of that program, the trivia. You said, I think, something about lost luggage was the answer.
Oh, it was, actually, yes. In America, 27,000 pieces of luggage are lost a day. And now, 90% are found within 5 days. But again, if you are going on a week-long trip, 5 days without your luggage is pretty much it.
Right, I know, because we got had luggage lost going down to Texas from Illinois, and we were going to a funeral and had good clothes that we're taking with us and all. Yeah, but my sister had to wait for a couple weeks before she got anything back.
Well, and yeah. Obviously 10% never see it again.
Yeah, but the other thing I wanted to tell you, and that's not the only thing that the airlines lose. They lose their parts of their plane coming over here.
Oh, yeah. Some of them are notorious, especially that from the lavatories.
Well, the Swiss Air came over and lost a door and part of a door and then part of that escape chute that comes down. And, yeah, and it hit. It didn't hit, thank God, it didn't hit anybody, but it hit this woman's fence and part of her roof and down into her yard.
Well,
and then it just rolled on into O'Hare.
Yeah, never mind the yard. What I want to know is the horror on board the minute something like the door opens. I mean...
Well, I think they have two doors.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
But still, this has got to be... problematic. But yeah, you do occasionally hear about things falling off planes and makes me glad.
It was interesting because they didn't seem to want anybody to know about it.
Well,
it was not in the local papers or anything. And I wanted to drive over and see where, you know, what house it was. And of course, that was not available.
Right.
And the other day I was going down Lawrence Avenue and they seem to now have a flight plan coming into O'Hare over Lawrence Avenue. And I look up, and I couldn't see which airline it was. It had only one engine. And I thought, what happened to the other one? Did it go into Lake Michigan?
That
is. But he was able to steer the plane okay.
Yeah.
But nothing said.
Yeah, they don't. As long as it actually lands and people get off somewhat unharmed, you never hear a word.
No, that's kind of frightening. Because I've been affected by the storms that we had at the end of June and beginning of July.
Yeah.
And I have a hole in my chimney right now. And I don't know if that's from a part of a plane or from animals or whatever. I have no idea. So, of course, the good hands, they won't pay for that. But anyway, that's kind of a concern of mine. But when I moved here 22 years ago, I was concerned about the exhaust because we had a lot of exhaust from the planes coming over. They had a different flight plan. And I thought, well, they're thinking about building an airport down in Piatone, and I thought that was great. But all of a sudden, that disappeared. No more Piatone. And but the Southsiders, they have come all the way up to O'Hare, and that's not fair for them.
By the way, I'm reading about this slide from last month. And, the 4700 block of North Chester. And the homeowner made the discovery. I guess they were sitting indoors and heard this loud boom a little after noon. And, they discover there is a slide. They don't know it's a slide. They just know it's a big hunk of, you know, whatever material that's kind of shiny and silver. And the slide hit the house, so the roof shingles, a few of them downspout, kitchen, window, screen. And there's the slide, and they call 911, and the FAA arrives within 30 minutes. And the FAA said a maintenance crew at O'Hare did discover that an emergency slide was missing from a United Airlines 767 that just landed from Switzerland, like you were saying. All right, well, how does the slide fall off the plane? So they sent someone immediately to retrieve it, This is not the first time they've lost a slide. Another Boeing 767, it happened in 2016 in Phoenix at Sky Harbor, and in 2019 in Boston near Logan. And so, you know, they say how the slide fell off the plane is being investigated. Well, hell, this is the third one we know of. Haven't you made any headway? So I don't know. And so one person said, this is really going to trigger some pretty major investigations. No, really? You would think that the first one would have triggered a major investigation. It's not like it's a bird strike. I mean, rarely do parts of the plane fall onto anything, let alone houses. So nobody was injured. Yeah. Everybody was stunned, and it was a big day there by O'Hare. But the third one, and yeah, I know. What else don't we hear?
Right. Yeah. And when I moved in here, they were taking a different flight plan, and then they were dropping something out that was covering, it was brown stuff, it was covering our white garages, and we thought maybe they were emptying the,
Yeah, I do know. Yeah, usually that's green, but yes, or blue. But I do know.
But I guess our mayor got on something about that, and then they were taking a different flight plan later. But, that we've had a few problems because of the exhaust. I don't feel like it's healthy having all the exhaust. They come down so low, or they're taking off so low, you know.
Well, they have to get from the ground to the sky. It's the way it works.
Yeah.
I mean, so there's going to be a flight plan. And, you know, actually, very often the question is, what came first, the airline or the houses? Because very often the airports, they're longer than the subdivisions. And in those cases, I have absolutely no sympathy. But in the cases where the subdivisions were there long before the airport, well, maybe they need to think about a different flight plan.
Yeah, I've been out there, and I had my turn talking to the people out there about the problems it's caused, because I have a frame house. And it's like it's over 75 years old. My house was built before O'Hara was just a drop off for air mail or something, I guess. It wasn't even an airport at that time.
Hmm.
And then the village grew up around my house. So my house is very old.
Yeah,
but when
right.
when something goes over and it's very low, my whole house sheds, it's like, I'm laying in bed, and all of a sudden I feel this thunder.
Yeah.
You know, but people with the brick homes, they don't seem to complain that much. It's just, of course, when you're outside and trying to talk to your neighbors, you have to wait until the planes go over until you can continue a conversation.
Well, that of course, and even more noise if you're near any military installations, obviously. But for a while, the blue ice, which is what you're talking about with the brown stuff, quote unquote, the lavatories, that was a problem, and I haven't heard about it as much lately. But an airplane door falling off the flight, that would scare the hell out of me.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. People continue to get on these things. Not me.
I used to enjoy the planes. I used to have, in fact, when I was in school, I used to keep an airplane model on my desk all the time.
What
I just
was
loved
it?
The planes.
What was it?
But, you know, it was just something I put together.
Oh, maybe a Stratoliner? Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But I just love the planes. But I tell you, the longer I'm here, the more fearful I am of them.
Well,
and, of course, to get from my house to the airport, they could just drop a rope down and I'd grab it, you know.
Yeah, right, right.
But I'm very close to the airport, but you have to take the highways to get out there, and all the rigmarole of getting checked in and everything now, and
yeah.
It's just too much.
Yeah,
I don't even feel like flying anymore.
No, it's absolutely not. It used to be really neat. People would dress up, and, you know, in the early planes when I was much younger, you got your own sleeper berth and all sorts of things. That's before jets. And now it's sort of like the Greyhound bus of the air. Not doing that. But yeah, I would think things falling into your yard from a plane would be alarming if it was a slide. And now we know it's the third slide. So hopefully they'll get to the bottom of this sooner rather than later.
But I think of those people that were lost over the oceans.
Oh, well, that's what
you know,
I mean.
Maybe part of the plane came off and they,
well,
you know,
of course.
Maybe they're deep in the ocean.
Well, and then with the ocean currents, you don't know where they are. And that's the case of that Malaysian Airlines Flight 370. They've looked at 50,000 square feet of ocean and haven't found it yet. But sure, there's a number of things. And then, of course, you get into all the conspiracies, like if something crashes, well, it was the devil's triangle, you know. But obviously, if it's crashing over a large body of water, the chance of actually getting debris isn't that great. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, more things to worry about. Put it on your worry list.
I was wondering if I could make a request.
Oh, sure. What do you want to hear?
I'll be seeing you.
All right. I'll look for a duo version.
Okay.
Very good. All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay. Okay.
Right.
Good night, now.
You too. And I know I've got a duo version, so we'll pick that up. And we'll get to maybe James called back with the stories. I don't know. But meanwhile, Laura and Willowbrook, we're going to talk about concerts. Why not? And whatever's on your mind at 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
On the drinking man's diet, it came from a book I was loaned. It's really terrific and quite scientific, and I'm half stoned. For breakfast, some cornflakes and vodka, but cornflakes have carbohydrates, so I don't eat those fattening cornflakes. I eat the vodka straight.
Drink, everyone drink. It's not as bad as we used to think. With every Manhattan, your stomach will flatten. So drink, drink, drink.
The Air Force invented this diet, a fact which they hotly deny. Of course they deny it, 'cause this is the diet that got the Air Force high. For lunch you can have three martinis. What better lunch is there than that? But caution, do not eat the olives, 'cause olives make you fat.
WGN Radio. Well, John wanted to hear Hello Mudda, Hello Fada, and I said, well, why don't we play an Alan Sherman record that doesn't get much airplay? Yes, The Drinking Man's Diet. Yes, more things falling off planes coming up. You might want to drink now right here on WGN Radio.
WGN
Radio. I'm Ronnie James. Joe Jackson. Yeah, 1979. I was programming a radio station in Los Angeles, and once a week I'd listen to the records that came in. And I remember hearing that, the opening line, pretty girls out walking with gorillas down my street. And I said, sold! Whatever it is, I'll play that. And I thought it was a great song. Of course, when I saw the title, is she really going out with him? You know, thinking, oh my God, wait a minute. Wasn't that Leader of the Pack? No, it was a lot better. So Joe Jackson turns 69 years old on Friday. Happy, happy. Born in Great Britain, grew up in Portsmouth, and born in 1954. So there you have it. Is she really going out with him? Yes. pretty women out walking with gorillas down my street. Yeah, that's so romantic. All right, so let's see. We have Laura in Willowbrook. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Riley. Thank you.
Sure.
Something's been on my mind, and you're a music person, and everybody listening is, so I just had to call about it. We had an incident happen at our local theater, but I wanted to ask a question first. What's with the concert goings? Like, people are just supposed to enjoy the concert, clap and stuff. What is this about people throwing stuff or rushing the stage? What's going on with that?
You know, you got me. I assume that it's just people behaving badly.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah, I guess so. Well, the reason I brought it up, I think it was Lizzo or something. I think she had an incident. And then our local theater group Sunday, I heard about this. They were doing the finale, and about to get into the finale, one of the people on stage had worked it out where some guy was going to run through the audience. He runs through the audience as a super fan of the show and disrupting the whole end of the show. He goes and gets on stage trying to get the orchestra to change the music and play something else. Then he jumps in the orchestra pit and he's trying to get the orchestra director to change the song and the music, and he disrupted the whole ending of the show, the final show and everything. It was a mess. Mm. Like, I don't know what's going on out there.
Like I say, people behaving badly.
I guess so.
Yeah, everybody's on their last nerve.
I think so, but I love the music you were playing, and of course, you're always awesome, Raleigh. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Take care.
All right. So, 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh takes us to Brian and Joliet. What's happening, Brian?
Hi, Raleigh. Hope you're doing well.
Can't complain.
And sorry I was napping tonight, and I set the alarm, but I was tired, and I slept. Missed the first hour and a half of your show.
Sleep is sacred.
Mm-hmm. Sleep is a sacred thing,
yes,
yeah.
Yes,
it is, yes. So, anyway, since you just played something, did you like that song by, what was it, J.D. Southern, When You're Only Lonely?
Not particularly.
You didn't? I thought it was beautiful.
Yeah, it was all right. But, I mean, I didn't hate it, but I wouldn't necessarily want to play it. I know it, but I wouldn't want to play it.
Okay. Okay, let's see. Let's see if this is a real Raleigh or some beans have replaced her with an artificial intelligence Raleigh, like kind of like that 1973 film, which sadly could become reality today with artificial intelligence. Remember the film Westworld starring Yul Brynner, Richard Benjamin, and James Brolin?
Heard of it, but since I've seen about five movies in my life, that wasn't one of them.
Well, I highly recommend it, because sadly, what was then science fiction could become science.
Oh, I'm sure that's absolutely true as far as that goes. But no, I'm sure it was a wonderful movie. I just don't like movies. All right, next.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, oh, okay. Here's an instance of a song where usually I like the originals better than the covers, but... you remember the song, Take Me for a Little While?
Yeah.
And I forgot who did the original. That was on Chess.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think, too. That's been done by 500,000 people. So,
Really?
Yeah, a lot of people. But what cover do you like?
Oh, I like Vanilla Fudge's cover of... Take Me for a Little While.
Well, that was on ATCO. I remember when that came out. But
yeah.
When I say everybody did it, even the Royal Jesters in San Antonio did it. So it's been done.
Yeah. Well, you know, most of the time I enjoy the originals better than the covers. Sometimes I like the covers better than the originals.
Yeah, it happens rarely, but I agree. There are some records where I hear the cover and I say, damn, I think I like that better. Yep.
Yeah. Well.
All right. Well, very good.
Well, other than that.
Always good
you
to
know,
hear
I,
from you.
I just wanted to say this is about real quickly that This is about, I first found your show by pure luck, because I was going through the dial looking for nothing on TV about one year ago, and I was going through the dial looking for some life at night, you know, on the AM, and I just, by pure luck, came across an old soul song. I said, who could, what this might be, and then I listened in for a while, and then just wanted to say there's a final exact date. Thank you for existing, because you've certainly made a difference in my life.
No, that's so nice of you. Now, so I had to look up Take Me for a Little While, and the first person to record it was Evie Sands, as far as that goes, but not memorable. The one on Chess that you're talking about is Jackie Ross, but there are over 20 people who did this song.
Wow.
I knew there was a lot. Like Patti LaBelle, Dusty Springfield, The T-Set, Cher, Trade Martin, Dave Edmonds, you know, I mean, Ginger Raven, for God's sakes. A lot of people did this song.
Oh,
and the Royal Jesters. Oh, man, the Royal Jesters. Maybe I'll play that version. Yeah.
Which one?
Royal Jesters. That's so San Antonio. And the Royal Jesters were great. The problem with San Antonio Records was they were the quality of them are all terrible, just terrible. But other than that, there are some great songs.
Yeah, you say you play that sometime.
Maybe the Royal Jesters. Yeah, play some Abe. I'm trying to think of Abe. I think it was Abe Einstein was his last name. He was the guy who had the recording studio in San Antonio, and his heart was in the right place, but his technical knowledge wasn't. So, I'll look for the Royal Jesters for you.
Oh, well, I'll be looking forward to hearing that.
Right.
Well, anyway, I just wanted to check in with you, Raleigh, and you take care.
Yeah, you too.
We'll talk again sometime.
Sounds good. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right.
Okay, bye now.
Yes, indeed. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, I aim to please, and I promise there would be an I'll Be Seeing You Doo-Wop, and I have picked it out. That's right. Fred Parris and the Five Satins coming up in moments right here on WGN Radio. Satins, I'll Be Seeing You, 1960, Ember. Yeah, we aim to please. All right, well, I was going to play the Frank Sinatra version, that's for sure. All right, so 888-876-5593 would be 8888-Raleigh. And back to the stories with James, because he did call back. And as usual, thank you for all these wonderful, wonderful stories.
Okay, sorry about that. My phone seems to be tonight acting real funny, because I think I've had to call back four times.
Huh. All right. Well, who knows? The gods of telephony are a fickle lot.
Yeah.
All right. So I was seeing that, other than the script, by the way, that I read, I've now read four articles on the script. I have no idea what the script says, and near as I can tell, they don't either. So that's the ancient script they say they've decoded, except they haven't.
Yeah, they, okay, who knows? Only the guys either in close contact with the ancient writers, who knows what means.
Well, there you go. Now, the other thing that was interesting are the ancient skulls that are heart-shaped. And what we're finding out apparently is the ancients had their own form of plastic surgery. That's really frightening.
But remember I think it was the Aztecs or the Incas, and said, hey, you had a little heartache? Oh, they'll cut you open, put chihuahua in there.
There is that, but I didn't realize that, eons before any type of anesthesia, cosmetic surgery was a thing, and apparently having a heart-shaped skull was the desire, according to the remains that they found.
Oh, boy. Okay. Now, that's a real skull breaker.
Goodbye. yeah, right. Yeah, all right. So,
no, my jokes are doing as badly as my phone.
Yeah, right. Well, it's nice that there's consistency there somewhere. Now, this is for Johnny D, of course, because he likes his fossil, a 500-million-year-old jellyfish.
That kind of tickled my fancy,
It leaves you speechless, actually, dating back to the Cambrian period in the Rocky Mountains of British Columbia. So that's obviously before some polar shift, no doubt, because jellyfish are 95% water, so this tells me that somewhere in British Columbia there was a lot more water than is around now.
Definitely.
Yes, a mere 508 million years ago, just like it was yesterday.
So,
yeah.
And that, and you say, well, you realize that we have a very interesting world.
Well, yes. But as we know from our caller yesterday, who was hell-bent to have everybody believe it, it's only gone on for 6,000 years.
Okay. Comment about the ketone. Now they were going, but here was one of the deal breakers. Okay, in order to make this viable, they had to put a rail thing. And now that one idea was to extend the red line all the way out to ketone. Let's see. Now that would have been a fun ride. That's 30 miles out to Kankakee, basically.
All right.
And the other problem was, let's see now, you're going to dig up a whole bunch of farmland for this. Okay, even Southsiders aren't going to go, where they got to go even further to get to Piatone than in a sense. And they have to go to O'Hare. That's not good.
No. But you can already go from Kankakee to Piatone. It's called I-57. What's the problem?
Yeah. So that's why the airport thing, now they're trying to pivot it to basically be, we're going to just use it for cargo flight.
Mm-hmm. It's always something.
And I thought about that when I said about the stuff. I said, okay, the funny thing was, okay, I think it was either John Williams or John Landecker who mentioned this past week about the anniversary. No, it was Landecker who mentioned about the anniversary of the Dave Matthews Band unloading their way.
We will not forget that story anytime soon.
And I think the Dave Matthews Band would love to, but I think there's quite a few people who still have very bad memories.
Well,
and
I would too.
I would think if you got pretty much, we will leave it. No puns intended.
Absolutely. And on that, you've ended the show. Talk to you soon. Thank you for all the many, many, many links.
Okay, take care.
Good deal, you too.
Okay, bye.
Yes. And we didn't even get to woman stabbed to death after confronting her boyfriend's lover about who would be a better wife. Yeah, that's a conversation I'd want to have. All right, well, plenty of things to talk about tomorrow night, including some with Sherry from Naperville, who needs to call earlier tomorrow night. And you too, because we've got 3 big hours, 21 hours from now. Until then, we thank Bob for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. Above all, I thank you for calling. Makes the show a pleasure to do, so I expect you to do it again tomorrow night. Attendance will be taken. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.